Coming up today on The Dwelling Place.
What is Peter doing here? Man, he's really driving it home is what he's doing. I mean, he's really letting them have it in a sense. He tells them that this Jesus Christ, this Christ that God attested to, what does that mean? That God bore witness to? How did he bear witness? Through signs and miracles, through wonders. That he attested to the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God.
Dwelling Place, Dwelling Place.
Okay, I'm a Christian, so what do I do now? Do you remember asking that question? Pastor Al Pittman will consider that question today on The Dwelling Place. Today we'll wrap up a message dealing with the final verses of the second chapter of Acts. Here's the scenario. Peter is giving a dynamite sermon about the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, and those who heard the sermon are clearly amazed. I think if we put ourselves in their place, we would have a very similar reaction. Here's Pastor Al Pittman with today's message titled, The Great Reveal.
Part of the prophecy has come to pass, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, but the rest of this prophecy is yet to take place. Hasn't happened yet. And I believe it's going to happen before the seven-year tribulation period. And the good news is that the church will be out of here, raptured, snatched off the face of the earth, amen, to meet the Lord in the air, as the Bible declares, amen. Now, I know there's some who disagree with that. They say, no, I think we're going to go through the tribulation period, which my response is, then have at it. Go ahead. Nail your shoes to the floor so when the rapture comes, you stay here and you can go through the tribulation period. But the rest of us are going to go be with the Lord. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Amen? And the reason I say that, I'm not trying to be facetious, but the reason I say it is because God has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation. And what is happening in the tribulation period mentioned in the book of Revelation is that God is pouring his wrath out upon the earth. And he has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. And so he says that those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Just, you know, as people call upon the name of the Lord now are saved, people during the great tribulation will come to Christ as well and be saved, but they will have to go through the tribulation period. So God, people will be saved and will come to salvation during the great tribulation as well. All right. So part of this prophecy was fulfilled from Joel, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The rest of it is yet to be fulfilled, okay? There's two categories there. The second reveal, now we come to it, that's after spending so much time with the first, the second reveal in Peter's sermon has to do with Christ. In verses 22 all the way to verse 36. But let's start at verse 22. He reveals Christ here to them. He says, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. In other words, you guys saw these signs. You know about Jesus. Amen. And he says, him being delivered by the determined purpose, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible, amen? It was not possible that he should be held by death and the grave, held by it, amen? And so what is Peter doing here? Man, he's driving it home is what he's doing. I mean, he's really letting them have it. In a sense, he tells them that this Jesus Christ, this Christ that God attested to, what does that mean? That God bore witness to? How did he bear witness? Through signs and miracles, through wonders. He attested to the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Remember John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to Jesus, messengers to Jesus, and they asked him, and John asked Jesus through his messengers, he said, are you the one? Or should we look for another? And remember what Jesus replied? It's in Luke chapter 7, verse 19, 22, and 23. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus replied, go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Go, in other words, he was saying, go tell John that the prophecies concerning the Messiah and what he will do when he comes in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5, and Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 have been fulfilled. Amen? And so John knew that, wow. So Jesus didn't say, well, I'm kind of a good guy. Could you tell him? No, he said, no, take him to the word. And I'm doing exactly what has been prophesied, the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world would do. So John understood that indeed he was saying that he was indeed the Messiah. John chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, if you don't like me or my style or whatever, at least believe the works. At least believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Amen? If you don't like me, okay, I get it, but at least believe the works. Blessed is he who is not offended by me. And this is why the world is cursed, because the world is offended by Jesus. But blessed are those who are not offended by him. In verse 23, as we continue on, of course, you know, Peter kind of tightens down the screws a little bit, and he doesn't hold back. And he says that, number one, that first and foremost, salvation has come because of God's determined purpose and God's foreknowledge. Salvation is not of man, but it is of God. Jonah said that in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, the latter part of verse 9, Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. It was God's determination to love us. It was God's foreknowledge that he had ordained that there would be a Savior sent to the world to die for our sins. It was God and God alone. It wasn't us. We were lost in our sins. We cared nothing about God. But yet, while we were still sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. But it was all because of God, what God did, not anything that mankind did. And then, of course, Peter doesn't hold back. He tells him, he lays the blame really undeniably at the feet of the world, at the feet of his audience. And I think it's what a great reminder to us. It's far too many times, you know, we are reluctant to call the world to task and to place the blame where it rightfully belongs. He said, you crucified him. Wow. You crucified him. He's not holding back. No, I don't want to offend anybody. You know, no, he's being honest. You crucified him. Why? And we sitting here today, we crucified him. Because there is no time with God. Well, I wasn't back there. God sees time to end from the beginning. And he saw our sins as well. And so it was our lawless hands that nailed Jesus to the cross. We crucified him, amen? Therefore, we are guilty. We are guilty. And this is what Peter's saying. You know, before you can be innocent, you've got to know you're guilty. Before you can be healed, you got to know that you're sick. And he's just coming. He's not pulling back. He's saying, listen, you guys did this. You crucified him, your sins. And our sins even today crucified him. I was listening to the radio the other day, and the pastor was sharing this, and it really blessed my soul. I preached about this before and all, but the way he said it just really, boom, like a light bulb went on. A deep appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. He said, you know what? Who is the most notorious sinner of all time? And you think of Hitler, you think of, you know, Stalin, you think of mass murderers and all this kind of stuff, notorious people, you know, just all this sinners, you know, criminals and all of this. And he said, the most notorious sinner of all time is Jesus Christ. Some of you are going, You know why? Because when he hung on the cross, he bore the sins of the entire world throughout all the ages. Amen? He bore your sins. He bore my sins. Yes, he did. This will blow your mind. Every pedophile, every child molester, every murderer, every thief, every fornicator, every liar, every act of unfaithfulness you have ever committed or ever been committed in the world was placed upon Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. And he became the most notorious sinner that ever lived for us. He bore our sins so that we might be called the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Will somebody praise the Lord for that? Amen. Praise his holy name. That's what he did. He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way but for you to bear all the sins of mankind throughout all the ages. And your sins along right with them. So it wasn't, oh, their lawful, unlawful hands. No, my unlawful hands pounded the nails into the hands and the feet of Jesus. Thank God for his grace. Amen. Thank his name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus was our scapegoat. Real quick, I don't have time to dive into it a lot, but Leviticus chapter 16. Back in the Old Testament, you know where the pages are still stuck together? Leviticus 16 talks about a ceremony among the priests of Israel that God ordained where they would take two goats. One was sacrificed, slaughtered. The other goat, the priest, the high priest Aaron, would place his hands on the head of the goat, representing all the sins of Israel being placed on the head of that goat. And the goat was released into the wilderness to never return.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in Acts chapter 2. The Dwelling Place exists to bring you sound, encouraging, and inspirational teaching from God's Word. We appreciate you tuning in during these uncertain times we live in. Are you a little fearful about the future? Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And we would also appreciate your prayers for this radio ministry. In these times, there's never been a time when sound biblical teaching has been more needed. Thanks for remembering the Dwelling Place in your prayers. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message titled, The Great Reveal.
Jesus Christ in the Old Testament concealed, in the New Testament revealed. He was our sacrifice, and he was our scapegoat. And he carried our sins away from us. Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen. That goat represented, that goat left, it's called the scapegoat. Rabbinical tradition teaches that they would usually have a couple of priests or Levites follow the goat to make sure it didn't make a U-turn and come back into the camp. So they would just make sure he conveniently fell over a cliff. Amen. So the goat didn't come back, you know. I know Peter wouldn't be happy, but that's what they did. All right. Did I miss you guys on that, Peter? You don't get it? Okay, all right. But Jesus Christ is our scapegoat. God, who is rich in mercy, saved us. God and God alone. And this is the reason why David rejoiced. Look here at verse 25. It says, for David says concerning him. Concerning who? Concerning Jesus. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoices and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, and you will not leave my soul in Hades, that is in the grave. Nor will you allow your Holy One, that is Jesus, to see corruption. David prophesied this hundreds of years before Christ. He says, you have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. How can we have the fullness of joy in the presence of God unless we've been deemed innocent? And our innocence is through faith in Jesus Christ, amen, who died for our sins. We go on here in verse 29 and following. Peter makes the point that it is Jesus, not David, who died for your sins. Basically is what he's saying. He says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. You know, David wasn't risen from the dead. You know, neither is Buddha or Muhammad. Their tombs are right over there. Amen? He's basically telling this audience that is primarily made up of Jewish people that, and they were familiar with King David, that King David is not your salvation. It's in Jesus Christ. Let's read on. He says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He's saying David was also not only a king, but he was a prophet. And David knew that from the fruit of his body, that is from the lineage of his life, the lineage of David, the Messiah would come. Jesus was of the lineage of David through Mary. Amen. Not through Joseph, through Mary, because Joseph wasn't his daddy. God was. Amen. And so he's saying, making this point, that this is the one that would sit on your throne forever when God promised David that he would have an heir that would sit on his throne forever. He's talking about the Messiah. So he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning, verse 31, concerning, the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, in the grave, nor did his flesh, that is the flesh of Jesus, see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. They've seen Christ risen from the dead. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father that the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out that which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Who's he speaking of? The Lord said to my Lord, who's the Lord of David? Jesus. Sit at my right hand. Where's Jesus? Seated at the right hand on the throne of God. Amen. Till I make your enemies your footstool. In other words, until God gives Jesus the signal, it's time for him to come back to the earth. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus. Amen. Not the Jesus you made up in your mind. Not the Jesus the world talks about. Amen. Not some Jesus fabricated according to my lifestyle. But he made this Jesus, the risen Christ, amen, whom you crucified. He's not letting him off the hook. Amen. He tells him, you crucified. He has made him Lord and Christ. And I love that, Lord and Christ. Why would he say Lord and Christ? Because he must be Lord and Christ in our life. If he is Lord, then we can make a religion out of him. If he's just Christ, then, you know, we can make an emotion out of him. He's our Savior. Oh, isn't Jesus so nice and meek and mild? But he must be Lord and Christ if we're truly going to know God. He must be the ultimate authority in my life and the ultimate relationship in my life. Amen. Praise his holy name. He is not just Lord or Christ. He's Lord and Christ. Amen. The last reveal we have here is salvation. I'll wrap it up here. Last reveal is salvation. Why do I say that? Because verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I love that. When people are really under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God's really spoken to your heart, you don't have to be sold into the kingdom. Your next question is, man, what do I do? Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is convicting. Peter has just revealed everything, and the Holy Spirit is drawing him to salvation. What must we do? And then Peter said to them, repent! Whoa, Peter, lighten up, dude. He's not lightening up. Repent. Oh, you don't mention that in church anymore. Oh, don't tell people repent. They get offended. Amen? But we need to repent. Repent is to turn around. Amen. To go in another direction. Repent. From the Greek word metanoeo. Metanoeo. And it means to change one's mind for the better, heartily, to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Repent. And he says, and let every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because everyone who comes to Christ receives the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He was like, oh, this God is being selective. No, he's not. He calls all. Why do I? How do I know that? Because the Bible says that God wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As many who would answer the call, amen, there is salvation for them. No matter how far off you are, say, well, I'm way off, Pastor. God could never. Hey, you're not so far that grace is not able to reach you still. Amen. No matter how far you've wandered, the Lord's grace is sufficient for you. And so he says to them to repent This is the way to salvation, repentance. This is not crocodile tears. This is not, I'm sorry I got caught. But a genuine desire to change and to be changed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces only death. The sorrow of the world is crocodile tears. Amen. Then he says, be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but baptism is the first act of obedience unto the Lord. It's an outward expression of an inward work, which for many believers, if they when they participate in baptism, and in a lot of places in the world today, it could cost them their life, literally. But it's an outward sign of an inward work that God has done within your life. Repent and be baptized. Again, baptism doesn't save you. Faith in Christ saves you. Of course, proof text is the thief on the cross. Jesus said, today you would be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to get baptized, did he? Amen? But Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Because faith in Christ is what saves us. Baptism is an act of obedience. And the promise of salvation is to all. Amen? Well, in conclusion, let me just say this, that the great reveal, we talked about the great reveal. The great reveal reveals the great rescue. And that's what Peter revealed here to the audience, that God has sent us a rescuer. He sent us a savior. God orchestrated the great reveal by his great love. He did so through prophecy. He did so through Christ. He did so through salvation. Promise has been fulfilled, praise God. The promise of the Holy Spirit coming. The kingdom has come. The church has been established on the earth. And Jesus, my friend, is coming soon. Here's the question. Will you be ready for his great reveal? Amen? When he splits the sky open and he returns, I pray you will be.
We hope that you've been blessed and challenged and encouraged by today's message. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it as a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that if you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Now, here's a special message for you from Pastor Al.
Hi, this is Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center. I'd like to ask you honestly how your life is going. Many people are troubled today by broken relationships and addictions and painful personal issues. That is what can happen when you run your own life. The Bible says there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Let me offer you a better way. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you can make a major change today by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simply by repeating this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and change me. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please contact us at cwccs.org/Jesus. And we will send you free information to aid you in your new life in Christ. God bless.
Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And join us next time for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.